Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio. The second group of acts for next year's Big Day Out was announced this week, and while it didn't include any names of the size of Rage Against the Machine, the appearance of singer-songwriter Kate Nash, trip-hop legend's uncle, and housemaster Carl Cox underlined the diversity of the 08 event. We caught up with the Big Day Out's New Zealand promoter, Campbell Smith, to find out where his operation was at. Well, Campbell, you've just made the second announcement. How exactly does this work? Are these all acts that you didn't know you had at the time of the first announcement?
It's a bit of a fluid process putting the bill together, actually. The local acts we pretty much have an idea of from the outset. The international acts is a real movable feast, and I guess when we do the first announcement, there's two perspectives, getting the right first lineup and then also having those that are committed and not wanting to put ones in this first announcement that we haven't quite got deals done with yet. But I would say that even at the beginning of the announcement process, the overall plan of the bands we want is pretty set. Things do come in and out, but not that much.
Now, you talk about the bands that you want, but obviously, you know, it's contingent on the Australian Big Day Out promoters wanting them as well.
I'm actually talking, I guess, from their perspective, really. I don't actually have a lot of involvement in picking international acts. But they have a vision of who it is that they want, and like I say, that's been put together from really now for next year. So for after the Big Day Out 08, they start thinking about who they want for the 09 one, and those conversations start. But by the time we do the first announcement in October, a reasonably clear picture of who those bands are is together. Occasionally, there'll be ones that fall out, and occasionally there'll be ones that come in.
It seems to me that that's one of many things about the Big Day Out that are a matter of balance. You're always looking to strike a balance, you know, in so many respects with the event.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know what, I think Ken West and Vivian Lees, who are the Australian promoters of the Big Day Out and have, you know, created the Big Day Out, do a remarkable job in picking, internationally, I guess, 30 or 40 bands, or 30 bands, 40 locals we have, that cross all genres, that can fill slots on six different stages that each really have their own kind of vibe about them. And I think they've done that consistently well for 15 years. It's a hell of a task.
How would you characterise this year's lineup as it's emerging? It seems like actually quite an alternative one to me.
I think it's one of the old ones, and I think that's the other kind of clever thing that those guys have done, is that you don't have sort of 3 years in a row of monsters of rock. You don't have Metallica followed by Tool followed by Rage. You have, in between that, you'll have Iggy and the White Stripes doing 1 year, and I think this year we've gone a bit indie alt and across all genres. You know, last year I guess it was a little bit more mainstream with perhaps, you know, The Killers and My Chemical Romance. They were very hot mainstream bands, but I think this year it's gone a little bit more alt.
And there's always the thing, if you do have a monster of rock on in the stadium, you've got to have something complimentary going on in the tent and on the other field.
Yeah, that's actually a big consideration, because when you look at a band like Rage, you know, there's 40-odd thousand people at the Big Day Out. We don't really want 40-odd thousand people jammed in front of Rage going, you know, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. You got to look at providing something alternative to that Rage experience for people who, A, don't want to see it, or B, try to keep them out of the main area. And then similarly, when they finish, you've got to figure out where those people are going to go after a performance like that. So it's a heck of a jigsaw putting the stage lineups together.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see you've got a house act on in the tent this year. I've been missing that. I've got to get back to like party like it's 1988.
Yeah, you can get out there. Yeah, exactly. I haven't, to be honest with you. I go into the tent every year, and I think that's for such hardy souls with sweat dripping down on, raining down on me. I can stand there for not a very long period, but it's got its own. It has its own. Well, climate definitely has its own climate. But there are people that go into that tent and don't come out for 12 hours. And we think of it from that perspective as well, as like what a bit of a, and you know, there is a bit of house, and there's a bit of, there's hip hop in there, and there's a couple of different MCs from different styles and genres, and there's a couple of acts in there. So again, we're trying to make a little varied environment inside that tent as well.
Do you schedule things differently to take account of local taste? Because, but you know, the taste of the Australian New Zealand audiences aren't going to be the same, are they?
We definitely do. I mean, that's probably the biggest input that I have into the lineups and how the lineups are run, is that I get the Australian version and I refigure it, particularly taking into account what kind of local acts we have. We're not exactly chucking out tons of great rock bands right now. We're chucking out heaps. The things that you traditionally see on stages 3 and 4, tons of those bands. I mean, SJDs and Phoenix Foundations and those kind of bands coming out our ears, because that's the kind of thing I think that we're making strong right now. But then the main stage where Australians we'll just have tons of rock bands. We don't, we aren't doing that right now. So we do move things around to take that into account.
Yeah. Looking at it another way, it's always a big win for a New Zealand act if they can get on the whole big day out circuit, which one or two do every year. How does that happen? Do you have a role in that?
Yeah, I've pushed really hard for that, actually. When I took this job on, I said that I wanted to make sure that we were getting better represented on the whole tour. And, that was a bit of a struggle. They said to me, yeah, that's fine, absolutely. And then they didn't. And then the second year, I kind of made a bit of a point about it. And now I kind of push early on. I kind of push the bands that I think would suit. This year I pushed real hard for Cut Off Your Hands to get on the whole tour, and that worked. Tiki Tane, we pushed to get him on a few shows, and I'll keep doing that. I think it's important to us to have that kind of respect. For all the bands that they chuck over here to us that really don't mean. I mean, the Hilltop Hoods is a good example this year. Not a bad band, I'm not saying that, but they don't have a release here and no one knows who they are, so there's no reason why that reverse can't apply for some of our bands.
Yeah. Of course, the other side of the job is that you're the face of it here, and it's sort of a given that every year there'll be some sort of controversy you'll have to front up on. Last year it was ticket sales on Trade Me. Do you find that hard work having to, when you're just trying to run a rock show?
I don't know. I've got a bit of a penchant for that kind of thing anyway. I don't mind actually facing up to those kind of issues. I know that the predecessors to CRS were probably a little bit more not wanting to do that kind of thing, but I find it hard with issues like ticket scalping to shut up and sit back. I think it's not just the effect that ticket scalping and issues like that have on our show, but I think it's kind of parasitic behaviour. And we set a ticket price. I'm going to get carried away on ticket scalping here for a minute, but we set a ticket price that is really ludicrously reasonable, considering that Rage could probably come here and charge $120 for their own show. And that's because we want to offer a show to the punters that we think gives them value. And when I see punters having to pay $500 or $600, I don't think that's right. So I will never shut up in that situation, and I always take the time to make a noise about it. I guess I'm also fortunate that I have the time to do that, because we have a really good team of people that are looking after the things that you might otherwise think I have to spend time on.
Yeah, so speaking of which, we're, 8-9 weeks away? What phase is the operation at now? What's happening this week? What happens next week and so on?
Well, this week it's about the announcement. The announcements tend to take a week of attention. It's divided into categories, really. There's the promotion and marketing side of things, and then there is the show logistics. There are... immigration is hotting up right now. We're obviously really heavily involved now in making sure that international acts have all their visas in place. We're starting from about the beginning of December. We start being out at Mount Smart Stadium a lot of days a week, just figuring out where things are going this year and how we're going to put things together. So we're starting to get much more involved from December onwards with logistics. What we're hoping to try to do from December onwards is tie back the marketing and promotion aspects of it, because ticket sales are going well, and getting rid of those responsibilities about now is, it sort of flips, I guess. October, November, it's heavily marketing, and then December, January, it's heavily show-oriented. It's quite a formulaic process. It doesn't require every year a great amount of lateral thought. It's been going for so long, and it's worked so well on a very tried and true formula, so we don't really muck about with that too much.
Now, one thing that came out of last year's event was the sound being a bit patchy in the stadium, and particularly on one side. Did you work out what that was, and can you address it?
I haven't worked out what it was, because I don't understand those things, but it has been addressed. That we always take on board the feedback from punters, and there was a lot of feedback about the sound, so that has been looked into by the people that do know how those things work. And, I'm fairly sure, I'm fairly sure that we'll have that rectified. It's difficult. You're in a big open space and weather conditions have an impact, but we've got to constantly monitor those things and make sure we try to make them better.
Now, one thing I've noticed in past years is that I've turned around while I was watching a band and seen you there. You like to walk the site and get out and actually hear a few bands, don't you?
I do like to get out. I don't know that I actually... I don't know if they ever get into the headspace of enjoying the bands. You get into a place when you're watching bands, you don't have any other responsibilities. I don't think I ever get into that state. I'm probably more concerned about whether people, whether someone 10 people in front of me has been crushed, or whether the security guys are doing a good enough job. But I certainly don't like to be stuck in that office all day. It's a living, breathing festival, and I do like to get out and see that it's running like I think it should, and that people are having a good time. In terms of enjoying the music, I actually... I go to Sydney, to be honest, and then I go and be a punter, you know, three or four, or the week after, and actually really enjoy it.
Who are you looking forward to seeing there?
Well, I'm desperate to see Arcade Fire, just because I think those two records have been, you know, monster records for me in the last few years, and I know it's a great live show. And then I've seen Rage Against the Machine, and it left an indelible mark on my consciousness. But seeing it again, I'm looking forward to that as well. And also, bands like that I like to see, because they're doing their thing, but there are 40,000 people interacting and reacting to that music. And I think, you know, how people enjoy a band like Rage is an interesting overall experience. I want to see Uncle. I'm really looking forward to that. I will have to probably venture into the tent. There's a tip, he's in the tent, or they're in the tent. It's a live band. And then a couple of local things. It's been a bit of a mission of mine to get the Clean On at some stage onto the Big Day Out, and I'm really, really delighted to have that happen this year. And, you know, just like everybody else, I want to see Super Groove play the Big Day Out again. That's going to be cool. Those are probably the things that I'm looking forward to.
Big Day Out promoter Campbell Smith there. After the break, Keith Ng talks about his travels in Asia.